Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Lies, Inc. by Philip K. Dick, performed by Luke Daniels.
1. The sub-info computers owned by Lies Incorporated had been caught in an unnatural act by a service mechanic. Sub-info computer 5 had transmitted information which was not a lie. It would have to be taken apart to see why, and to whom the correct information had gone. Probably there'd be no way to discern to whom the correct information had gone, but a carrier check maintained an automatic record of all sub-information transmitted by the bank of computers located here and there on Terra. The information had to do with a rat. According to the carrier check, the rat lived with a colony of other rats in a garbage dump in Oakland, California. What importance could information dealing with a rat have? Lewis Stein, the chief mechanic for Lies Incorporated, pondered this as he broke the flow of current to Sub-Info Computer 5 and prepared to begin taking it apart. Of course, he could ask the computer, but the computer, being programmed to lie, would of course lie, even to Lies Incorporated itself. That was an irony which Stein did not appreciate. This problem always surfaced when it came time to dismantle one of the computers. Any other bank of computers, Stein thought, could be asked. Just for a moment, he restored power to Sub-Info Computer 5 and punched buttons on the console of a terminal. "Whom did you transmit to?" he asked. "Ben Applebaum, Rockmail." "Fine," Stein said. At least he knew that. Somebody on Terra with the name Rockmail Ben Applebaum probably now knew more about rats than he cared to know, albeit on a subliminal basis. "You're probably thinking a lot about rats these days, Mr. Ben Applebaum," Stein said to himself, "and you are wondering why." Again he cut the power to the computer and began to go to work. Standing before his bathroom mirror, shaving, Rockmail Ben Applebaum thought about the delicious taste of cheeseburger fragments. Not a whole cheeseburger, you rarely found those, but the wonderful dried bits lying here and there among the coffee grounds, grapefruit rinds, and eggshells. "I'll fly over to Bob's Big Boy," he decided, "and order a cheeseburger for breakfast." And then he thought, "It's those damn dreams." Actually, it was one dream, over and over again, and he always had it around 3 a.m., Several times he had awakened, gotten out of bed, bewildered and disturbed by the intensity of the dream, and noted the clock. The place he dreamed of, it was awful. And yet, for some reason, while he was actually there, actually dreaming, the place seemed great. And this was the part that bothered him the most, that he liked it so. It seemed familiar. It seemed to be a place he regarded as home. However, so did a number of other people. People. They hadn't looked exactly like people, although they had talked like people.
"That's mine," Fred said, holding on to an armload of dog kibble.
"The hell you say," Rockmail said angrily. "I saw it first. Give it here or I'll pop you."
He and Fred fought over the armload of dog kibble, and Rockmail finally won. But he won in an odd way, by biting Fred on the shoulder. He hadn't hit him. He had bitten him. "Strange," Rockmail thought as he continued to shave. "I'm going to have to see a psychiatrist," he said to himself. "Maybe it's memories of a former life, millions of years ago before I had evolved into a human being, far lower on the evolutionary scale. Biting people, or rather, biting animals." Yes, he thought, Fred was an animal of some kind, but we talked English. In his dream, he kept a secret hoard of valuables which the others in the settlement knew nothing about. He thought of them now, those precious artifacts which he cherished, which he had gone to such lengths and efforts to acquire. Mostly food, of course. Nothing was more important than food. And yet, you could sometimes find string. He had a lot of string, fine brown string. He had wound it up into a heap, and during the day he slept in the midst of it. The pile of string comforted him. It lulled him and made his dreams peaceful. All but one, there at the settlement, asleep during the day in his pile of string, he had one dreadful dream which kept coming back. It had to do with a huge fish opening its mouth wide, and vast, ugly teeth strove to crunch him with avid relish. "Jeez," Rockmail said. "Maybe I'm not here shaving. Maybe I'm just dreaming this. Maybe I'm asleep in my pile of string and having a good dream, not the bad one. Having the dream where I'm a..." He thought, "a man." So then, by inference, he thought, "I'm not a man when I'm at the settlement. That would explain why I bit and why Fred bit. That son of a bitch," he said to himself. "He knows where a lot of dog kibble is, and he won't tell any of the rest of us. I'll find it. I'll find his trove." But then he realized, while I'm out doing that, maybe Fred, or someone else, will find my trove and take away my string, my wonderful string, which was so hard to drag back to my hiding place. It kept snagging and catching on things. "I'll defend that string with my life," Rockmail said to himself. "Any son of a bitch who tries to steal it will wind up without his face." He looked at his wristwatch. "Gotta hurry," he said to himself. "It's late. I overslept again. And I can't get the dream out of my head. It was too vivid for a dream. It wasn't a dream. Maybe it was involuntary telepathy of some kind, or contact with an alternate universe. That's probably what it was. Another Earth on which I was born as an animal rather than a human being. Or a microwave transmission, using my brain as a transducer without an electronic interface. They have those, especially the police agencies." He was very much afraid of the worldwide police agencies, especially Lies Incorporated, the worst police agency of them all. Even the Soviet police were afraid of them. "They're beaming psychotronic signals at me subliminally while I'm asleep," he thought. And then he realized how paranoid that was. Christ, no sane person would think that. And even if Lies Incorporated did transmit microwave-boosted telepathic information to him in his sleep, would it have to do with rats? With rats! "I'm a goddamn rat," he realized. "When I go to sleep, I abreact back millions of years to when I was once a rat. And I think rat thoughts and have rat ideas. I cherish what a rat cherishes. That explains my fighting with Fred for the dog kibble. It's simple. Memories from the paleocortex rather than the neocortex." There's an anatomical explanation. Has to do with accretional layers of the brain. The brain has old layers which come to wakefulness during normal sleep. "That's the trouble with living in a police state," he said to himself. "You think, you imagine, the police are behind everything. You get paranoid and think they're beaming information to you in your sleep to subliminally control you. Actually, the police wouldn't do that. The police are our friends." Or was that idea beamed to me subliminally? He wondered suddenly. The police are our friends? The hell they are! He continued shaving, feeling glum about the whole thing. "Maybe the dream will stop coming," he said to himself. Or, pausing, he thought, "maybe the dream is trying to tell me something." For a long time he stood without moving, the razor held away from his face. "Tell me what? That I'm living in a garbage dump where there's dried scraps of food, rotting food, other rats?" He trembled, and, as best he could, continued shaving.